Hey guys, my name's Bo. I'm the pastor here at Connection Church Reidsville, and we're sorry that we had some technical difficulties last night whenever we actually done this session, but we wanted to make it available to everyone, so we're going to try to re-record it for you now. I want to give you a few details up front that might be helpful. We got quite a few graphics for this session tonight, so as you're listening to the teaching, you'll notice that I talk about a few graphics. When I talk about them, I'll just refer to them as graphic 1, graphic 2, graphic 3, so on and so forth. And then if you would like to receive those graphics, you can just email us at the church's email, which is info@ccreidsville.com. Or if you know Ms. Kim or Cheyenne or me, just reach out to us, and we'd be happy to get those graphics to you, and we'll label them graphic 1, 2, 3, so on and so forth, so that you can pull them up as you listen to the teaching. But for this particular session, we're going to wrap up our summer nights teaching, which was really designed to help you guys think about and understand what we're going for in our Connect groups. What's the heartbeat of Connect groups here at Connection Church Reidsville? And I hope you guys have seen by now that we sort of build Connect group around three things: growth, care, mission. In the first week, you got to hear from Blake. We talked a lot about growth. And in that, we talk about growing in our understanding of God's word, but not just our understanding, also our obedience and transformation. And then we got to hear from Lane, week 2, on care. And Lane talked a lot about us caring for one another and being together and doing life together. And tonight today we're covering mission. So before we dive in, I really want us to take a minute and define what we mean by mission. So what is mission? When we think of mission, a question I would ask is, what are some things that usually come to mind? And typically, some common answers that I hear are missionaries overseas, evangelism, outreach events, serving opportunities, and all of those things are good. They're really good, and they're biblical things. But sometimes that way of thinking, when that's our thinking on missions, it can unintentionally make missions into something that it's not. And so that brings us to our first graphic. You, at this point, if you're listening to the teaching, you would want to pull up graphic 1. And what I want you to know about graphic 1, in case you don't have it, is it just shows us that this way of thinking makes us feel like missions is something that the church organizes. It makes us feel like only certain people can participate in it. It makes us feel like mission is something that happens outside of normal Christian life. And so what that leads to is missions becomes a special leg of ministry that's separate from all the other areas of ministry. But I want to take a minute and I want to read a passage with you guys, Acts 2, 42 through 47. I hope you've gotten comfortable with that text, because it's sort of where we get our idea of Connect groups from. So again, that's Acts 2. 42 through 47. All right, let's start in 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. And so I want to point out just a couple of things for you guys in that. And it's this. The first thing is this. Luke doesn't introduce mission as a separate activity. Luke didn't start with mission either. Luke started with a healthy church. The first thing he showed us was a healthy church. He shows us that these people were devoted to God's word. They were committed to one another, sharing life together, meeting needs, praying together. I hope that sounds familiar. I hope that sounds a lot like growth and care. But then out of that, God adds people to their number. They had favor with all the people. So the main idea there is this. Mission is the overflow of healthy biblical community. So when groups come together, connect groups come together, and they are healthy and they're practicing growth and care, then the natural overflow will become mission. And so this is where I'd introduce graphic number 2. This is why growth, care, and mission belong together. So our graphic graphic two, would show us growth, which is where God works in me, care, which is where God works among us, and then mission, which is where God works through us. Those aren't three separate ministries. They're all just three movements of a healthy disciple. And so today, as we're recording this, I want to show you four things that are going to help us grow to be more healthy in terms of Connect Group. So these are four things that are going to help us be healthy in Connect Group. Number one is mission begins with God. Mission begins with God. Number two, God accomplishes his mission through his people. God accomplishes his mission through his people. Number three, healthy groups naturally become missional. Healthy groups naturally become missional. And then number four, I want to show you four practical rhythms of a missional connect group. Four practical rhythms of a missional connect group. So let's take a look at the first one. Number one, mission begins with God. The first thing we have to understand, is that when you think of a question I might ask is, when you think of a missions passage in the Bible, if I ask you to come up with a missions verse, what would come to mind? And typically, what I see often is people mention Matthew 28, right? The Great Commission. And what I want us to think about is the fact that mission didn't begin with the church. Mission didn't actually begin in Matthew 28. Mission begins with God. And so the Bible tells one story to help you understand the fact that mission begins with God. I want you to think about the Bible telling one story. It's one God, one mission, one purpose from beginning to end. It's more of a narrative than it is 66 books telling different stories. And so that purpose, the purpose of that narrative is God is gathering a people for himself from every nation to worship him. And so I want to walk you through the storyline of the Bible briefly. And this is where I would introduce graphic number three. Graphic number three. So when you think of this graphic that you guys can't see right now, hopefully you've received them by now, but the first one says creation. Creation. So God created humanity to know him, to worship him, to reflect him, and he wanted them to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth so that the whole earth would bring him glory. But then next comes the fall. Sin enters the world. Humanity rebels against God. The world is broken. People are scattered all over the world. But God immediately begins pursuing sinners. So you see the mission there. You see God is pursuing sinners. And then you get to Abraham next on the list, which brings us to Genesis 12, where God makes a promise to Abraham. He says, Abraham, in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So he's telling Abraham, I'm going to bless you and you're going to be a blessing to all nations, meaning he's going to continue the mission through Abraham. Through Abraham's family, he's going to bring about the Savior that's going to redeem some from every tongue, tribe, and nation. His purpose was never just Abraham, it was the nations. And that leads us to Israel. Out of Abraham, the nation of Israel was born. God creates a people, and these people weren't just meant to simply enjoy God's blessing and favor. They were meant to receive God's blessings and then turn around and be a blessing in the world with it. They were meant to display God's glory among the nations, to be different. And of course, they fail at that because they're imperfect people, which leads us to sort of the fulcrum, the centerpiece of God's redemptive plan, which is Christ. So now we see Jesus comes as the fulfillment of God's promises. He accomplishes redemption for God's people, but then whenever he redeems those people, he sends them out as his followers into the world to continue the mission, which brings us to the church. After Christ, the church is born, and you see in Acts 1:8, Christ tells his followers, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So now the mission is continuing through the church. The church exists as God's instrument to continue his mission. And then we jump over to Revelation, which is the end, right? We see the ending of all things. And history tells us, according to John, the vision he received from God, that some from every tongue, tribe, and nation will be around the throne worshiping him. You find that in Revelation 7. And so where do we fit? And this is where I would introduce graphic number four. Graphic number four. Where do we fit in? Well, we live between the time of Christ coming and sending the church and the book of Revelation and the fulfillment of all things, which shows us we stand between this promise that was made by Jesus that we would go out and be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And this whole thing ending with some from every tongue, tribe, and nation around the throne. But now the question becomes, are there some from every tongue, tribe, and nation that know the gospel and are worshiping God? And the answer is no. There are still many nations, many tongues, tribes that do not know anything of the gospel. So that tells us the mission isn't finished. And so a question I might pose for each of us is, who are some people that God's already placed around you that you probably would not have known or had relationships with if God hadn't put you here? And so what I want you to understand from that question is the mission field isn't just somewhere else. God's already placed people around us. Which brings us to the second point for tonight, or today, the second point. God accomplishes his mission through his people. God accomplishes his mission through his people. So, if God has a mission, which we've exposed that he does, and it's not finished yet, which we've exposed that it isn't, the question should naturally be, well, how does he accomplish it? And the answer is through his people, the church. And I want to pause and make an important distinction here. A lot of times I hear people say things, and there's no bad intentions here, of course, but I will hear people say things like, well, the church has a mission, right? The church is on mission. You'll hear things like that. But I think a better way to frame it, a better way to think about it is God has always had a mission, and therefore he created the church. We have to understand that the church exists because of the mission, not the other way around. And here's what I want you to know and understand about that. We didn't create the mission. The church didn't create the mission. We simply get to participate in the mission that's always existed. And I want you to notice what happens if you get that order wrong. If we assume that God created the church and gave it a mission so it would have something to do, and we get that part wrong, then we run the danger of becoming consumers instead of participants in the greatest story ever told. Basically, what happens is we redefine the purpose of the church. Okay, so where do groups fit into all this? If we know that God has a mission, we know that it's not finished yet, and we know that he's using his people to accomplish his mission, where do groups fit in? Well, connect groups are just one way that Connection Church Reidsville participates in God's mission. Why? Because God never intended Christianity to be lived alone. We believe that Christianity was meant to be lived in community. And tying that to the mission, we want you to understand that it's not the Lone Ranger who is especially blessed by God who's going to go out and finish the mission. God created a people, a family, a body, a community. And this is where growth, care, and mission connect, which is now where I would introduce graphic number five. Graphic number five. When we're participating in a healthy connect group, growth is taking place. So, for example, God works in me. This would produce questions like, is Christ changing me? Am I growing in obedience? Am I becoming more like Jesus? And when the answer to those questions starts to become yes, then you can give care to others. So we go from growth to care. God works among us. And now we receive questions, or we generate questions like, are we carrying one another's burdens? Are we encouraging one another? Are we living as a family? And when the answer to both of those questions become yes, then it leads to mission, which is God works through us. And so a question that might naturally arise is, who is God bringing into our lives? And so what I want you to notice in that graphic is that healthy disciples grow, healthy disciples care, and healthy disciples go. This, guys, is how we build the team that gets the gospel to the nations. So what do I mean by that? Well, if God's overall mission is to reach some from every tongue, tribe, and nation, and the goal is to get the gospel out where it's never gone before so we can complete the mission, how do we tie that back to connect groups right here in South Georgia ministering to the people right around us? Well, the truth is, when groups are healthy and we're practicing growth, care, and mission right where we are, it means we're going out and evangelizing people and bringing them into biblical community, and then we're discipling them up to maturity so that they can find their role in God's global plan. Think of it this way. The missionaries that Connection Church Reidsville may send out to Indonesia one day may not even be in our church yet. They might be your neighbor. They might be another parent at the ball field who doesn't know Christ. So when you're practicing Growth Care Mission and Connect Groups and you're reaching people, we're just adding people to the team that we need here at Connection Church Reidsville in order to get the gospel where it's never gone, in order to complete the mission that God left behind for his church. So that leads us to point three. Healthy groups naturally become missional. Healthy groups naturally become missional. So this is where we address the danger of being in a connect group. So a group can unintentionally become the destination, right? A healthy group can become the thing that, if we obtain that, then we feel like we've arrived. People begin to think things like, well, I found my people. I found my community. I found my friends. And those things are all wonderful. They're good things. And I don't want to discourage you from searching for those things, but those things were never meant to be the end goal. And guys, this is especially true of people who have never experienced this kind of community before. So if people haven't experienced the beauty of Growth Care Mission, then a lot of times, as soon as they do, they don't want to let go of it. They don't want to move away from it. And here's why. There's a biblical thing taking place. Something spiritual happening there. It's not just emotional. So there's always been this biblical void in your heart that's never been met or satisfied because no one's ever cared for you this well. So the moment someone does, there's a gap that's filled. There's a hole that's filled. And it becomes so satisfying that we forget that we were meant to point those things outward. Which brings me to an illustration. You should have I think this is graphic number six. You should have a graphic of two seas pictured side by side. So this is the Sea of Galilee, and then there's the Dead Sea. The Sea of Galilee has all the vegetation and greenery around it, and the Dead Sea obviously is dry and barren. So both of these bodies of water receive water from somewhere else, but only one of them actually gives water away. And the difference is one has an outlet and one does not. So the Sea of Galilee takes water in, but it also has an outlet that flows downhill from it. The Dead Sea takes water in, but does not have an outlet. And I want you to notice something about the Dead Sea. Notice that the water's clean. Naturally, you would think that a body of water that has nowhere to release water would become dirty and grimy, but it's not. It's super clean. So the problem's not how messy it looks in and of itself. The problem is that it's not life-giving downhill from it, downstream from it. And another challenge is, as beautiful as it is, there's a lot of salinity there, which makes it unable to sustain life outside of itself. So other aquatic animals and things like that can't sustain there like they naturally would in other places. Vegetation isn't naturally sustained there like it would be somewhere else. And so the danger is not necessarily that they would become too messy, right? Because there's clean water there. The danger is that the water is self-contained, self-focused, and unable to give life away. And so a healthy Christian community, for example, receives God's word, encouragement, care, fellowship. It receives those things and takes them in, but it can't stop there. It has to overflow. That's biblical. That the things we receive, we give away. Think about Abraham. God says, I want to be a blessing to you. Why? So that you would be a blessing. So it always overflows, which brings us to the danger. There's another graphic here. I believe this is graphic number seven. The danger. So whenever we're not outward focused, what happens is growth without mission becomes information. We're growing, we're getting smarter, we know more about God's word, but it's just information. It's not actually transforming us, and other people aren't being blessed by it. And then care without mission becomes comfort. And the problem with that is the Bible never talks about Christianity in relation to comfort. And in fact, anytime it mentions Christianity in terms of comfort, it speaks to the opposite. It speaks to the fact that we're to die to ourselves, we're to take up our cross and follow Jesus. Many times, the gospel and scripture and the Christian faith are going to call us to do some of the most difficult things we've ever done, but they're also the most rewarding. So care without mission becomes comfort. Mission keeps both of those things outward facing. And so a reflection question I might pose to you guys is this: what would happen to our connect groups if all we ever did was received from one another, but never made room for others. Right? And the answer to that question is, the gospel's going to die with us. So that's been the challenge for many smaller, older churches in all of America. I mean, this is extremely sad to say, but as we watch many of those churches close their doors, we realize that the problem those churches have faced is they were inward focused. They weren't missional. And what happened is they got too old to have children, so now their church no longer grows. And that's the danger we don't want to see in churches anymore. We want to encourage people, be missional, be outward focused, because if you're not, then the gospel's going to die with you. And so that brings us to the end for tonight of point four, four rhythms of a missional connect group, And I use that word rhythms very intentionally. I don't want this to become a checklist, because I want you to understand that there is no 12-step program that I can give you to make a difference in the world like this, to make a difference in Tattnall County. There's no way. But if we'll live by these rhythms, if we'll experience this mindset shift that we need, we'll develop these rhythms, then I think we'll see a change happen. So we're getting practical now. The question becomes, how do we actually do all of this? I want you to understand that we don't want to just create another ministry, okay? We don't want to just create another ministry. We want to create a mindset shift or a culture shift that says, how can we live differently? How can our whole lives, our whole selves, our whole mindset be shifted into a different direction? So here are the four rhythms I would give you. Number one, pray. Pray. Who are we praying for? And I want to take a moment and say, a lot of times when I bring up the category of prayer, most people just, no, I got that. Of course, we want to pray. But what I would also say is, I don't think I've ever had a conversation with someone in which I asked them, how's your prayer life? And people have told me, man, I'm crushing it in that area, right? So a lot of times what I see is the one area that people sort of give a quick nod to is oftentimes one of the areas that I've never heard anyone say they're crushing it in. So take a moment and slow down here and think about this. We don't want to just pray for spiritual ambiguities. We don't want to just pray things like, God, we pray for the lost people, right? We want to be intentional. We want to pray for names. We want to encourage our groups to have categories of thought like neighbors, coworkers, family members, friends. And we want you to write those things down. Continue to pray for those people. Guys, mission begins with asking God to go before us and do the work. And also, now, if you're praying intentionally for people and we're sharing these things, now we have something to hold each other accountable to, which leads to the second rhythm, pursue. The second rhythm is pursue. So who are we intentionally building relationships with? Well, God's already placed people around us, right? Some examples might be neighbors, coworkers, other parents at sporting events, classmates, former classmates if you're older, family members. And these people aren't projects. These are people we're looking to learn about, to love, to care for. Guys, you got to remember, these people are important to God, and therefore we should pursue them. We should give up our time and our energy to pursue them. And when we're pursuing these people, it should lead to the third rhythm. The third rhythm, invite. Invite. So who are we inviting into our lives? And I'm not talking about, well, we invited them to church, right? If I'm being honest, before I accepted Christ, there's no shot that I was going to set foot in a church. I had my mind made up. I already knew what all those church people were about. I already knew what they wanted from me, at least in my mind. And so I knew I wasn't going to set foot in there. So I'm not talking about inviting people to church. I'm talking about inviting them to dinner in your home, cookouts with your friends and family, game nights, group gatherings, serving opportunities. Guys, I've found it to be true that people often experience gospel community before they actually understand the gospel message. And here's the kicker. All of these things are normal things. You do almost all of them every week. For example, I assume you eat dinner every night of the week. So I'm not asking you to change your schedule or do anything different. I'm simply asking you to invite someone else into those moments. And another thing, you can make these personal to you. A good example is my family doesn't do game night. I don't enjoy losing, so we don't play games at my house. Therefore, I've adapted this to be fishing, right? I do enjoy fishing, but I've made it a rule that if my boat goes out to go fishing, then someone else's butt has to be in it, right? You can personalize this. Just take these categories I've given you and think about what you already do in your daily life and invite people into that, which leads us to the fourth rhythm, the fourth and last rhythm, share. Eventually, we have to talk about Jesus. Our kindness does matter. Our love does matter. Our hospitality does matter. But people need to hear the truth of the gospel. So guys, mission is both showing and modeling Christ's love to people, but it's also speaking Christ's truth to people. So those are the four rhythms. Number one is pray. Number two is pursue. Number three is invite. And number four is share. So as I close this out, I want to leave you with a closing challenge. I want you to go back to Acts 2 and think about Acts 2. The early church wasn't impressive because they had a wonderful program. These people were not impressive at all in a worldly sense, to be honest. But these people were compelling. It says so. They had favor with all the people. They were compelling because they had a life together that reflected Jesus. They grew, they cared, and they overflowed. So you get growth, care, mission. And God used that community to reach people. So here's the question I want every Connect Group member or leader to consider. If your Connect Group disappeared tomorrow, who would notice? If your Connect Group disappeared tomorrow, who would notice? And I'm not referring to the people inside the group. I'm talking about those outside of your group. Would your neighbors notice? Would your coworkers notice? Would your friends and your family notice? Would there be people who say something is missing because those people aren't there anymore? Because guys, that's the kind of community we want to become. Not a group that exists simply for itself, but a people where God works in us, among us, and through us. And so that brings us to an end. And I just want to remind you guys one more time, if you would like to receive the graphics that go along with this teaching, if you know me, Miss Kim, or Cheyenne, feel free to reach out to them. And if you don't know their contact info, just reach out to info@ccreedsville.com, and we'd be happy to get you the graphics. Thanks, guys.